Welcome to the Money Girl Podcast. I'm Laura Adams, a leading personal finance and small business expert and award-winning author. I've been writing and hosting this show since 2008. I believe that financial wellness and success starts with education. If you don't know how money works or what to do with it, it can be pretty difficult to make the right decisions and improve your financial life. So this show is for everyone who needs practical financial advice and guidance. No matter if you're a college student who wants to build credit and financial independence, you're a young professional who wants to crush your debt and grow your net worth, or you're middle-aged and you want to get serious about planning for a comfortable retirement. I also touch on business topics here for those of you who have self-employment income or want to be your own boss one day. If that's you, don't miss my latest book, Money Smart Solopreneur, a personal finance system for freelancers, entrepreneurs, and side hustlers. It's available everywhere as a paperback, ebook, and audiobook. I want to thank Hallie S. for her recent Amazon book review on Money Smart Solopreneur. She says, "Seriously life-changing for my business. I'm not completely finished with the book, but it's already provided me with so much value and significantly lessened my anxiety and stress when it comes to facing money management in my business. With so many videos, blogs, courses, etc. out there, I feel like this book cuts through it all and gives you the essentials and lesser-known tips that tend to get lost in a lot of other resources. There are some productivity tips in there as well that I've since adopted and use on a daily basis. I couldn't recommend this book enough. Well done." Hallie, thank you so much. Your review means so much to me. I love hearing how your life and business have been helped from reading Money Smart Solopreneur. Again, thank you so much. That gives me just incredible joy to hear that. All right. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm actually beginning to feel like life is settling into a post-pandemic normal. My husband, Adam, and I actually went to a dinner party with dear friends over the Memorial Day weekend. We've all been vaccinated, so we were inside. We had hugs and everything. It felt so great. So I hope you're also enjoying some of those moments that we've all been missing. All right, let's get started with episode number 685, called 8 Money Saving Health and Fitness Tips You Shouldn't Miss. And I can't believe that this summer will be my 13th year of hosting Money Girl, and the 700th show will drop in early fall. I want to thank you all for subscribing, downloading the show, sharing it with your friends, and making Money Girl such a success all these years. I love connecting with you and serving you here week after week. And by the way, we're going to create a special anniversary show, and I want to feature your voices, your questions, your comments. So if you'd like to participate, and I hope you will, please leave a voicemail. All you have to do is call 302-364-0308. But do it before middle July, like July 15th is going to be our deadline. Maybe you've been a longtime listener and you just want to say hello, or you have a specific money or business question that you'd like me to cover on the anniversary show. The sky's the limit. I'd love to hear from you and add your message to the show. But again, don't wait, because we'll need to receive your message before July 15th. All right, let's get to today's topic. Everyone knows that taking care of yourself is critical for your physical health and well-being. But you might be worried, or you might think that staying fit means having to break your budget. Well, I've got some good news, because there are some excellent ways that you can stay healthy and also save money. So that's what we're going to cover today. I'm going to go over 8 health and fitness tips that are really going to help you take advantage of a lot of different benefits. You're going to learn new relief that has been enacted to help Americans cope during the pandemic, and how to use various medical savings accounts and tax deductions. I'll review ways to find less expensive health care and how to be strategic about reducing medical expenses for you and your family. So let's get into the tips. Number one is max out your health plan benefits. You probably know that your health insurance benefits and your deductibles get tied to an annual schedule. So that means you've got to pay attention to the calendar in order to max out your benefits. Let me give you an example. Let's say you've got a lot of medical expenses and you reach your full deductible in October of a given year, but you still need more medical services or products. What you want to do is be sure to get them before the end of the year. After you've reached your annual deductible, your strategy should be to have your insurance company cover as much of your medical expenses as possible. If you wait to schedule a medical service until the following year, your deductible resets. And so that means you're going to have out-of-pocket costs again until you reach your deductible for the current year. In some cases, your health plan may come with capped benefits. So maybe there's a cap or a limit on something like physical therapy or dental work. It's wise to spread out those capped services over 2 years if possible. For example, you might schedule some of your services in December and some of them in January. That may allow you to get more services. Also, do not skimp on your health plan's free preventative services. That could be annual physicals, well woman visits, mammograms, prostate screenings, dental cleanings, and eye exams. If you don't schedule those visits, it's like throwing money away and neglecting your health at the same time. Not a good combination. I know that going to medical appointments can feel like a hassle and it is time consuming. But one way to reframe healthcare is simply to be grateful that you have insurance in the first place and you have access to quality care. Never squander the opportunity to improve or to monitor your health, especially when it's a free service that's already covered by your insurance. Tip number two, consider telehealth services. Telehealth services are not new, but the pandemic accelerated their adoption in 2020. Federal and state governments incentivize insurers to expand telemedicine capabilities, which is a win-win for health carriers and policyholders. For example, Blue Cross offered a $0 copay for medical and behavioral health telemedicine visits for a period, even though they aren't HIPAA compliant. Having a virtual visit with a doctor by video chat or phone can save time and money. Indeed, you're not going to be able to use a telehealth appointment if you've got an emergency situation. However, if you've got a common ailment, maybe it's a flu, cold, allergies, a rash, something like that can be a lot more convenient to deal with than having to get to a doctor's office. You can also use telemedicine for mental health counseling, nutrition advice, and medication consultations. Tip number three, use health incentives at work. Employers know that healthy workers are good for the company's bottom line. And so that's why many large companies typically offer wellness programs. They may include financial incentives for things like losing weight, walking a certain number of miles per day, or completing online health counseling. Typical rewards for you and your family to reach specific health goals might include getting a gift card, contributions to a health savings account, extra vacation time, free or subsidized gym memberships, fitness tracking devices, or even personal trainers or health coaches. So if you've got health incentives at work, be sure that you're taking advantage of them. Tip number four, open a health savings account or HSA. If you've listened to Money Girl for any length of time, you know that I am a huge HSA fan because they're one of the most tax-friendly accounts you can have. It allows you to save for current and future medical expenses on a tax-free basis. And as I previously mentioned, your employer can make HSA contributions on your behalf. That's a fantastic benefit if they offer it. Then you get to spend that money in the account on qualified medical expenses that are not covered by your health insurance. That could be your deductible and copayments or any type of covered medical cost that is not covered by your insurance. But you can only contribute to an HSA when you have a high deductible health plan. That's a category of insurance that requires a higher than normal deductible. But the good news is that it charges lower premiums, which can really save you money. Enrolling in a high deductible health plan may be a really good choice. It just depends on your health needs and your expected annual medical expenses. If you purchase an HSA eligible health plan at work or on your own as an individual, you can open up and fund an HSA. For 2021, you can contribute up to $3,600 when you have an individual health plan or up to $7,200 when you have a family health plan. And after age 55, you can contribute an additional $1,000 each year for either type of plan, an individual or a family plan. These are the total limits that include the amounts contributed by an employer. Once you've got money in the account, you can take distributions from your HSA to pay for a long list of medical expenses, even if your insurance doesn't cover them. That might include dental care, prescription eyeglasses, chiropractic, or acupuncture. If you spend HSA funds on qualified medical expenses, that money never gets taxed. So consider this. Let's say your average income tax rate is 25%. When you use your HSA, that gives you a 25% discount on all of your out-of-pocket medical expenses. That's huge. But if you spend money in an HSA on non-qualified expenses, any amounts that you withdraw are going to be subject to income tax plus an additional 20% penalty. So it is not a good idea to put money in an HSA that you might need for everyday living expenses. If you change your insurance and you no longer have a high deductible health plan, you won't be eligible to make new HSA contributions, but you can still spend your existing balance on qualified medical expenses for you and your family. There's no spending deadline. Your HSA funds can accumulate indefinitely without penalty. So here's a quick review of the advantages of using an HSA. You make tax-deductible contributions that reduce your taxable income and the taxes that you owe. You get tax-free growth in the account. That allows your account to increase without having to pay tax on any investment gains. And you get to take tax-free withdrawals of contributions and your earnings to spend on many qualified medical expenses. These are really powerful benefits that cut your tax bill and maximize your healthcare buying power. Plus, after you reach age 65, any funds that you still have in your HSA can be spent on non-qualified expenses without that steep 20% penalty that I mentioned. So, maxing out an HSA each year is really a clever way to boost your retirement savings. Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's gotta be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org. Hey there, I want to tell you about one of my favorite podcasts, Freakonomics Radio. Every week, host and best-selling author Stephen Dubner dives into the hidden side of business, economics, and so much more. He interviews CEOs, historians, and Nobel laureates to explore all kinds of topics, like why the best employees can make the worst bosses, and how whales went from being economic engines to environmental icons. If you're a curious person looking to better understand the world around you, you'll find everything you're looking for on Freakonomics Radio. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. Tip number 5, use a flexible spending arrangement, or FSA. FSAs have a lot of similarities to HSAs, but they're only offered by employers. An FSA allows you or your employer to make contributions on a pre-tax basis, usually through payroll deductions. For 2021, eligible employees can contribute up to $2,750 to a healthcare FSA. Now, if you spend the funds on qualified medical expenses, they are never taxed. So just like with an HSA, you save an amount equal to the income taxes that you would have paid on those contributions. But unlike an HSA, An FSA is a use it or lose it plan. That means that you've got to empty the account every year. You've got to spend it all or only carry over a small amount into the following year. As I mentioned, your HSA funds get to roll over from year to year without penalty. However, the Consolidated Appropriations Act, which was passed during the pandemic, allows employers that sponsor FSAs to allow participants to roll over unused amounts from 2020 to 2021 and from 2021 to 2022. So you'll have a little bit more time to spend your money, but it's not likely that that benefit is going to continue past 2022. Now, there's another type of account called a dependent care or DC FSA. This one is exclusively for childcare expenses, such as daycare, preschool, and after-school programs for children under age 13. In addition, DC FSA funds can be spent on elder care if an adult that you're caring for gets claimed as a dependent on your taxes. A DC FSA typically comes with a $5,000 contribution limit. However, new COVID regulations increased the pre-tax contribution limit to $10,500 through 2021 for singles and for married couples who file taxes jointly. Now, if you're married filing separate taxes, you can contribute up to $5,250 to a dependent care FSA. Tip number six. Claim medical tax deductions. When you itemize deductions, instead of taking the standard deduction on your tax return, you can claim a deduction for various healthcare expenses. They include medical costs paid for yourself, your spouse, and dependents, including healthcare insurance premiums, unless those are already excluded from your taxable income by an employer. There's a long list of medical expenses that qualify for a tax deduction, and some of them may surprise you, such as acupuncture, chiropractic, contact lenses, drug addiction treatment, psychoanalysis, weight loss programs when recommended by a doctor, and transportation to medical care. You can review the complete list of deductible expenses in IRS Publication 502, Medical and Dental Expenses. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. You'll find that in the Money Girl section at quickanddirtytips.com. But the deductible expenses do not include costs that are meant to improve your general well-being or your appearance, such as a gym membership, vitamins, cosmetic surgery, or a well-deserved beach vacation. But there are probably many expenses that you might not realize are deductible. For 2021, the medical deduction applies to the amount of allowable expenses that exceed 7.5% of your adjusted gross income. Let me give you an example. Let's say your adjusted gross income is $50,000, and your unreimbursed medical expenses are $5,000 for the year. You could deduct the amount over $3,750. That's 7.5%. So the amount over that, which is $1,250, would be the amount that you could deduct. Now, if your medical expenses are less than the 7.5% threshold of your income, then you cannot deduct any of them. So you've got to have expenses that are at least 7.5% of your adjusted gross income. Tip number seven, get healthcare subsidies. If you do not have a health insurance plan through work, getting an Affordable Care Act or ACA qualified health plan can be an affordable option. Depending on your income and your family size, you may be eligible for a healthcare subsidy that reduces your premium. Open enrollment for ACA plans is usually limited to just a few weeks at the end of the year. However, due to COVID regulations, you have until August 15, 2021 to change your ACA plan or to enroll in a new plan. And again, this is due to the pandemic. After August 15, you can sign up or change your coverage anytime only when you experience a life event that qualifies for a special enrollment period. That could be having a child, getting married, or relocating to another state. So if you are somebody who's looking for coverage, you want to make sure that you do your shopping before August August 15th. Otherwise, you're going to have to wait until the open enrollment period, which again is only just a few weeks at the end of the year. And my last tip, number 8, get temporary COBRA subsidies. Another huge pandemic-related health benefit applies if you lose group health coverage at work because you get terminated, or maybe you have your hours cut. The American Rescue Plan Act provides a 100% COBRA premium subsidy. This lasts from April 1, 2021 through September 30, 2021. So this is huge because this is going to pay 100% of your COBRA if you lost your group coverage at work. Now, this subsidy does not apply to involuntary termination. So if you just chose to leave your job, or let's say you got fired for gross misconduct, you would not get this benefit. But if you were terminated due to something related to the pandemic, you can have your complete premium paid for at least through September of 2021. So I hope you'll take advantage of all these fantastic health and fitness benefits. They really can save you money and make sure that you're also maintaining your health. I would love for you to stay in touch with me. One way is to follow me on Instagram at Laura D. Adams. You might also join my private Facebook group called Dominate Your Dollars. You can send me a quick text to get your invitation to the group. Just text the word dollars, D-O-L-L-A-R-S. Text that to the number 33444. I hope to see you in the group. Also, be sure to visit lauradadams.com to sign up for my newsletter and learn more about me. That's all for now. I'll talk to you next week. Until then, here's to living a richer life. Money Girl is produced by the audio wizard Steve Rickyberg with editorial support from Beata Santora. If you've been enjoying the podcast, it would mean the world to me and everyone on the QDT team if you would rate and review the show. And don't forget, we have backlist episodes and show notes that are always available for you at quickanddirtytips.com.